hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone is having an absolutely terrific day. It's another beautiful day down here in Florida. Have some more chemtrail spooch, though they started up today, which is interesting. It's always interesting to see how there's so much money to be distributed to all these alphabet agencies and all these planes that are spraying chemtrails and all these agencies that do essentially nothing. But yet then they say the, you know, $1,200 that everybody supposedly is getting, and it's going to take months to get now, is this, you know, oh my gosh, it's, everybody's getting a lot of money. I just get a kick out of it. I was just thinking about that earlier, why everything's going on. And so other than that, Dad, how are you doing this morning?
Oh, absolutely blessed, awesome. Blessed beyond measure, shaking down, running over. You know, it's funny to me. I mean, Zig Ziglar, he's a good friend of mine. He's dead now. May he have a good time in heaven. He basically told me years ago, he says, Ted, you know, it's always better to have a good, it's always best to have a positive attitude than a negative attitude. He said, in the history of the world, no one has ever erected a statue to a critic. I told him, Zig, you're right. And, you know, he said, even if he was not a Christian, he would consider becoming a Christian just to have the attitude of having hope in the afterlife and hope in Christ Jesus. And he said, even if none of it was real and we lived as a Christian life, we treated each other with respect and we loved God and we loved Jesus and we had a life that was basically uplifting and edifying to everybody around us, it'd be worth being a Christian. And, you know, I know it's real. I know the entire Roman calendar changed. I know that Jesus Christ changed everything. And we know that we have hope and glory. And you know what's interesting to me? I see these news stories every single day. And there was a surgeon or a doctor up in New York now who supposedly, and I believe she did commit suicide. And I called one of my friends up who's also a cardiologist. And his daughter actually worked with this lady who committed suicide up in New York. And I asked him, I said, did she leave a note or, you know, I just was curious because I knew I had to report on this thing because it was the leading story in Drudge. And he didn't have any other information. But this girl's supposed to be a Christian. Now, I don't know her background. I don't know how she died. I don't even know what happened. All I know is this. Guys, here's the thing. We have to maintain faith in Christ. We have to have hope and glory. We have to realize that there's going to be an end to all of this. You know, now Drudge is coming in, and, you know, Drudge, remember, Drudge's Jewish, he's gay, supposedly, I mean, I don't know, I'm not going to go there, but, you know, he's not going to be giving you positive, edifying, uplifting stories about Christianity, as far as I'm concerned. And so there was another preacher, a Virginia preacher, basically, who said, he said, you know, believed God could heal anything, and then he caught the virus, and then the guy died. And, of course, one of the top stories there on Drudge again. And you stop by, and you go, why would they do that? You know, we got these doctors that are supposedly the front line committing suicide, front stories. You know, we've got preachers that believe that God's going to heal you, basically dying from COVID. Why would they promote all of these stories? Why would they put this type of narrative up? I mean, why would they do this? I mean, why would they feel as though this is necessary to give you all of this negative news? I mean, let me give you a couple of headlines. Tragic toll on heroes. Top Manhattan ER doctor commits suicide. U.S. deaths 56,000. Models dire prediction. Case fatality rates rise. Trump says virus testing is not a problem. Not a problem. They're not even doing testing. CDC in most areas. CDC recommends social distancing for pets. For pets. The first dog test positive in the United States. The preacher believed God can heal anything. Then he caught the COVID virus. Okay. Let's stop here for 1 second. You know, this is just absolutely negative news overload, even for me. All right, I have to deal with this stuff every single day, and I'm looking at it, and I'm going to go, wait a minute, why are they doing that? Well, the thing about it is, Christians have hope. We have hope in who we know who we are through Christ Jesus because of the blood covenant that we have in God through Christ. We have hope. We have hope and glory. They don't want us to have hope. They want to take the hope away from us. They don't want us to believe that God can deliver us from this. They want us to believe that Q will deliver us from this. Now, you listen to this. Stay with me for a second because I am over this psychop. And the problem is that so many people now, believe that Donald Trump is Q or is involved in Q. And, you know, and I apologize to you guys, have to bring this garbage up with Q again, but it won't go away. Carmen wrote it and said, you know, I believe the Russian colonel, the video that I talked about yesterday on the show, I believe the Russian colonel is telling us the truth. I just wish the Q people would wake up and see reality. I don't think the Zionists could have pulled off Operation Coronavirus without assistance from Q. Q has paralyzed a large portion of freedom-loving patriots that would have opposed the Zionist coronavirus operation. I think in hindsight, we'll all come to see exactly how Q and Trump facilitated America's demise. Now, I agree with Carmen. Now, Trump's just a spokesperson. He's just a puppet on a string. I've told you guys that before. All presidents have been since John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Reagan tried to step out. They shot him too. And he should have died. And they kept him medded up and, you know, on drugs and sleeping pills, you know, for his entire 8 years in the White House while former CIA Director George Bush ran the White House and further dragged us into a ditch in the United States. Now, the irony of all of this stuff is that they want to make this as helpless as they possibly can. Now, let's talk about this preacher first. Let's talk about him first. In Corinthians, it tells us, it says, do you not know that ye yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives within you? Or God's Spirit lives within you. And if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. Now, let me stop for just 1 second. Why is this important that we cover this right now for Christians? Here's why. And I'm a Baptist, and they're the worst, okay? Just to let you know, I'm a Baptist, but they're the worst, all right? And the Church of God, Assemblies of God, they're bad too. They're all bad about health and diet stuff. Years ago, this is like 35 years ago, I came under tremendous persecution when I was on the radio at WCIE in Lakeland, Florida, talking about God's dietary principles in the Old Testament. Like, don't eat pork, don't eat shellfish, don't do this because of what it does to the body's immune system. I talked about a prestigious cancer organization that worked with cancer patients that said if you eat pork, you cannot recover from cancer. I covered all of this stuff. And oh my goodness, did I get a little bit eviscerated. I mean, it was ridiculous. And the Christians, these are Christians attacking me. And Christians, leaders at the church, this is Carpenter's Home Church. They had about 6,000 members. They built a 10,000-seat auditorium. They've hosted and owned WCIE, which was one of the largest FM, 100,000-watt Christian broadcast behemoths, monsters in the United States. Huge numbers. And I was on WC once a month with a guy by the name of Tom Trollson. And the name of the show was Feedback. And I'd go on and I'd talk about health aspects from the Bible. Now, I also had my clinic back then, and I'd see up to 40 patients a day. And it was just one of the things that I did to try to get the information and the news out. Finally, I got so attacked by one of the doctors who was running a Ponzi scheme also with his wife from Watson Clinic. I kid you not, the wife ended up in prison. The doctor ended up having to pay restitution for the rest of his life. They're both dead now. That they took me off the radio show and said that I could no longer be on the air on their station. I'm not making any of this stuff up. I don't ever make stuff up. I don't have to. I've got so many stories. And what ended up happening is that church ended up getting sold multiple times. A lot it ended up going through a giant split, and it ended up being torn down. The entire 10,000-seat auditorium, which is the cost of millions and millions and millions of dollars, was gone. I mean, it's gone to this day. It is completely finished. And Pastor Carl Strader, who basically had started the church and had built this huge auditorium, he died a few weeks ago. So, I mean, so that's another part of history here in Central Florida that's gone away. But I'll never forget the way that I was attacked when I said, what you eat directly affects your health. I mean, you would think, oh my gosh, I committed some kind of, you know, sacrilege, that I was basically going to be burned at the stake for saying that. Now, I'm not making this up, nor am I using hyperbole here. It was awful. I mean, I got called before the doggone top people in the church in a meeting in the green room and basically eviscerated with my wife sitting beside me because I dared to talk about health and nutrition on this radio show. No joke, it happened to me. Moi, I was there. It happened to me. In fact, we left the church over it. I had enough of it. But here's the problem. Churches have for so long taught that you can eat whatever you want to eat do what you want to do, and it doesn't affect your health. It's a complete lie. It's not true. The Bible says, do you not know that yourselves are God's temple, that God's spirit lives within you? And if you destroy God's temple, he will destroy you. In other words, if you destroy your body, your temple, willingly, then you're going to get destroyed. Now, does that mean God comes in here and he zaps you with a lightning bolt? No. He allows natural law to come in and take care of it, because the natural law is also set up by God. It's kind of like the law of gravity. It doesn't make one bit of difference if you step off a 10-story building if you don't believe in the law of gravity. You're going to have a really negative experience, well, at least for a few seconds. And this is exactly what people don't get who are Christians. So I'm not saying this preacher who believes basically ain't bad. I'm just saying that they're not telling us if he had any other underlying health concerns. They're not telling us if he had heart disease or diabetes or cancer. They're not telling us anything. They're just saying that he died of COVID, and they're making us feel as though that our faith is no good and that it's irrelevant. That's what this article is all about, and it makes me very angry. I'm not even going to post it on the website because it makes me mad, because I don't want to do that, because all it does is create doubt and unbelief in people's minds. Because as a Christian, please listen to me, and I mean this very sincerely, I've learned that, you know, faith without action is meaningless. It's dead. You've got to have faith. The Bible says faith without, this is James 2:14-22. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and is lacking in food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, without giving them the things that needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. So what the Bible's basically saying here for you, those of you who are new Christians, is that, hey, look, if you're seeing a friend of yours or someone that you don't even know who's starving to death and they're basically needing something, some help, just help them if it's within your ability to do that. You've got to be willing to help other people. Now, it also goes one other thing. If you're, please don't get mad at me, I'm not trying to offend anybody. If you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 100, 200, 300, 400 pounds overweight, when are you going to realize that just maybe you got to cut back on your intake? You know, if you're dealing with high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, cancer, this looks on and on and on. Okay? Why do you think that what you eat and your lack of exercise or your lack of physical ability hasn't contributed to that? Now, I realize that we're in a physical body, and we're only going to be here for 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. I got that. Got it. All right, and then we'll be with God for eternity. But that doesn't mean that while we're here, we can't take care of what he gave us. Does that make sense? Yeah, I see it all the time. You go to a Section 8 housing community, brand new, just been built, and it's nice. Got roads, buildings have windows, buildings are well painted, there's no trash in the yards. Guess why? Because nobody's living there yet. And then all of a sudden, you come back 15, 20 years later, windows are broken out, crime scene tape everywhere, holes in the parking lot, fascia soffit's falling down, holes in the roof. You go, what the heck? They get so bad within 15, 20 years, they don't even repair them. They tear them down and rebuild them again. Because the people who are living in them don't appreciate them because they were given to them. This is the same way many Christians treat their bodies, and secular people too, because we received our bodies at birth in most cases, and we were relatively healthy, unless you get shot up with 76 vaccines by the time you're like 12 years old. You're relatively healthy. And so you think, okay, well, this is standard equipment. You know, my car came with a windshield. I don't really appreciate it. Well, if you take the windshield out of the car, you'll appreciate it real quickly. You've got to have a windshield. That's the problem with our health. When it comes to us as standard equipment, we don't think much about it. We don't think that we need to take care of our bodies. I mean, you think about it. Well, I'm going to drink a glass of wine. All right. I'm going to drink 2 glasses of wine. All right. I'm going to drink 3 glasses of wine. Yeah, you're pushing it now. Well, I'm going to drink a fifth of a gallon of wine every day, or, you know, a quart or a jug or half gallon. Well, there you go. Now we got a problem. Well, the alcohol inhibits the production of an enzyme which burns fat. So you start storing fat, start getting a wine gut, a beer gut, or whatever. You start having problems with your memory because you start burning out brain cells. All of these things happen. And you think, what the heck? This isn't okay. Well, that's right. It's not okay. You know, you've got to take care of your body. You've got to treat your body accordingly. That's what it says in James. And see, and this is the thing we have to look at as Christians. You know, if you know you're going to be taking D3 and K2, help keep your immune system strong. If you know you need to be taking vitamin C, if you know you need to be taking potassium iodide, if you know you need to be doing things, if you know you need to be taking zinc, if you know you need to be doing these things, just do them. You say, well, I don't want to take vitamins. Well, I don't want to take vitamins either. Yeah, you thought you'd never hear me say that, but I don't see it as having an option. I mean, I know that the vitamins are important to keep me healthy, to keep my brain working, and to keep me functioning at top mental acuity. I mean, I have a friend of mine. She, you know, she basically was having all kinds of health problems last year. I mean, in the hospital, immune system issues, a whole bit. Started taking supplements, got better. You know, now she's staying super healthy. Now, could she have been a victim of coronavirus? Had she not changed her diet a year ago? There's a high probability of that. You know, her husband's a pastor, and he works with people who are dying in a hospital, and many of them dying of coronavirus or some other disease. So here's the thing. We all have a responsibility to take care of ourselves. But what in the world have they done to us? They've silenced us. And now one of the things they're doing to silence us, guys, and this really just absolutely just frosts me. It really does. They've got us wearing masks. Why? Well, you know, in the symbology of the occult, you have all these different symbols. They like putting masks on people. They like putting gags on people. They've silenced us by this mask. They've made us compliant by the mask. You know, they're testing the system out right now. How many people will wear a mask? How many people will be silenced? How many people will be gagged by the mask? You know, I mean, you walk outside and the British officer looks at you and says, "Do you have the king's permission to go outside?" Wait a minute. The king? You mean Donald Trump? Well, he's not the king. He's a figurehead. "Do you have the Rothschild Zionist permission to go outside, peasant?" Wait a minute. I don't want to be a peasant. I don't want to have your permission. So all of these things, you think about it, they're trying to silence our voices. And, you know, this mask is symbolic of silencing our voices. I mean, if you look at Luke 19, Luke 19 is a very, very good chapter in the Bible. I like Luke. It's a good chapter. And you know, in verse 28, Jesus was basically going into Jerusalem, and he was going to be riding on the back of a colt. It says, and it's verse 36, it says, "As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they'd seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Then the Pharisees, listen to this. I'm going to stay with me. I'm going to give you a point here. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And Jesus says, verse 40, "I tell you," Jesus replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." So here's what I say to you, globalist, Rothschild, Zionist weirdos. You put masks on us. You do whatever you want to do to us. You force us into this stuff, and many will comply. I will not. But I tell you this, even the stones will cry out that Jesus Christ is Lord, because through him all things are held together, and you will not win this war. I assure you of that. Austin, what do you think?
No, that's exactly right. And this is why they have been pushing so hard to stop church services, to the extent of fining people for having drive-in
exactly right.
church services. This is what they're trying to do. They're trying to see how far they can take it. And it's exactly what you just said, Dad. This is turning basically an oligarchy here. It's turned into a feudal system. This is no longer a constitutional
exactly
republic.
Right.
I understand the need to maintain the health of the populace. I get that. I understand the need to protect a lot of the elderly population, because that's our duty as the younger generation. I get that. This is not that. When you start having roving patrols of sheriffs on beaches arresting people and fining people for walking down the beach or paddleboarding by themselves, This is no longer about protection or safety or flattening the curve. That terminology, I'm so over that. They're using that again as another mind control device. Basically, if you're not with them, you're not flattening the curve, which means you're with the virus. And if you're with the virus, you're a terrorist, which is what they're implying. And I mean, I saw an article earlier from the Indiana government, the Indiana governor, who came out and he said, basically, church buildings and physical locations need to be closed. If you may have drive-in services only if they are conducted under these conditions. I kid you not. I was reading this morning. Attendees must stay in the vehicle at all times. Attendees cannot interact physically with clergy, staff, or participants in any other vehicles. Vehicles should contain only members of a single household. Cars must be spaced equivalent of every other parking spot or approximately 9 feet apart. Oh, there you go again. Is that nine, that inverted six. It's always six and nine. You guys notice that? 6, 9, 1, 9, 1, 1, 1, 9, 6. Always these numbers with them. Then he goes on to say, no one may exit a vehicle at any time. Portable bathrooms are not allowed on the premises and no church facilities may be used. It is preferred that no communion be distributed. If communion must be distributed, only prepackaged communion that is used and prepared and distributed and the guidance that meets all food and safety standards. Anything else, King? Can we dance for you while we're at it? Do you want us to shine your shoes?
There you go.
What the heck? I mean, so now we're giving a list of edicts to everybody if they want to go have a drive-in church service. No one may exit their vehicle at any time. What? I read this morning, and it literally about tipped me off the point. I got so irritated when I read this morning. And the fact that so many Christians right now, guys, listen to me. This is so troubling because you've got to listen to this. You've got to wake up. Please listen to this. Do not be a mindless sheep. This is nothing about your protection anymore. If they cared about your health and protection, they would have removed aspartame and sucralose from the food supply. They would have removed tobacco products. They would have banned alcohol. Oh, that's right. They tried to do that. It about ignited so much civil unrest, about started the Civil War too. Oh, that's right. They don't care about your safety at all. They kill 1,700 babies every single day and execute them via Planned Parenthood. Oh, that's right. This isn't about your safety. This isn't about your health. I got an article this morning from Brad Parton. This is from Fox News up in Ohio. Police break up Amish party, make arrest after 911 call for violating COVID-19 stay-at-home orders. The Amish. Now they got to go bother the Amish. You know, Dad and I were from Montana a long time ago, back 2011,
that's
for whole
right.
summer. And we got to hang out with this Amish group. They built log cabins. Unbelievably friendly people. I mean, they'll give you the shirt off their back if you ask them, if you need help. We parked our motorhome there for a while, stayed with them, hung out with them, went back up there, got to see their operation, ride around. You had a truck. It wasn't old school Amish, like horse and buggy. They were more like at least modern. Like he had a Chevy pickup truck. It was like a community truck. Got lost all the time. Everybody used it. It was actually funny. But it was a super cool group. So down to earth, so friendly, so nice. And they're going to say here, Ohio's Amish were in law enforcement's crosshairs over the weekend for violating, dun-dun-dun, the stay-at-home coronavirus rules. A party of roughly 100 people was broken up, and one person was arrested. When we got there was a barn full of people, Sheriff Scott told Fox News. We won't tolerate this. We have to keep everyone safe. One individual faced disorderly conduct, while another issued a summons to appear for violating Ohio's stay-at-home restriction, and two others were charged with underage drinking. I didn't know Amish usually drink alcohol, but I guess they were having a COVID-19 party. I don't know. I don't really care. It's our own private property. But here's what we have here. At the beginning of it says 911 call. So you had the snitches running around now like little rats. I hate snitches. I can't stand them. I dealt with it at Southeastern University back when Southeastern was a much smaller school. Love the school. Now it's not like this nearly as much, but you actually had these RAs that were told to be snitches. They would go around. I kid you not. I can't even make this up. And back then, Jimmer, it was like a Bible college, and it just turned into a university when I started going there. And they had no shorts rules to class. I'm not joking. I can't make this up. Because it was a Bible college, they expected you to wear jeans to class in a professional manner. Now, I mind you, this is Central Florida University. It's Southeast University. It's in Central Florida. If you've ever been to Florida in the summer, in the fall, in August, it is deafening hot up here. To the point where, I mean, people have heat strokes all the time. You know, it's the high 90s on a regular basis. Breaks into the 100s on a regular basis. And mind you, at that temperature, it's always 80 to 90% humidity. It's like walking around in a steam room with gnats. Great state. Yeah, fantastic. Anyways, I digress. And so they would actually have RAs write you up for wearing shorts and not even tell you. And you would get a fine in your P.O. box. No kidding. Fine in your P.O. box for wearing shorts to class with these little Gestapo snitches that ran around. And of course, I mean, you're hearing this from me, so you understand my personality, how well I went along with those tyrannical orders. I'd wear gym shorts to class. I'd wear bathing suit to class just to intentionally incite a confrontation when I was 18, 19 years old. I'll be honest with you guys, because I thought it was one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life when it's 100 degrees outside and I have to park out in the annex parking way across campus and walk 30 minutes to my class and I'm in jeans and I get to class and I'm literally soaking wet. I'd bring shirts with me. So I would fight them. I'd appeal them. I'd fight them all the time. And I got a lot of them dismissed. And, of course, they've stopped all that now. So my thought process of snitches is heavily skewed, but for good reason. Snitches are disgusting to me. People that run around and have nothing better to do besides be Gladys Kravis and peer through their binoculars and call 911 on somebody, especially for this. Now, I get it. If somebody's doing something egregious or you see an offense taking place, you see a violent confrontation taking place, by all means, go get involved. I've done that numerous times. I've stopped numerous incidents from occurring. Or if it's something you don't want to get involved in, get law enforcement involved in. I'm not talking about that. That's not snitching. That's trying to protect people if they don't have the means to protect themselves. Or if you see a burglar or somebody peering around a property. That's different. We've got people now driving around and staying in their house with binoculars, calling 911 because too many people have congregated on properties. That's what we have now. We have a full-blown Gestapo police state in this country. And now we have law enforcement and mayors and governors giving edicts on how people can have drive-in Christian church services. Now, it's funny about this. I haven't heard anybody discuss mosques. Ah, that's a topic. Every single edict is constantly church. Church, church, church. Church services, church building, church residents. I haven't heard one edict come about of a mosque and Muslim congregating. Not one. And I've heard of numerous instances of individuals having big groups and mosque and prayer sessions together. Nothing. Dead silent from the community, from the governor, from the mayor, from the sheriff's department. Now, why is that? Why is it that they are directly going after Christian churches in small town, rural areas in most cases, but yet areas with mosques in Michigan and Minnesota, they're almost untouchable? They're like the mob, the Muslim mob, you could say. And I'm not saying it's like that all across the country. I'm sure some of them have been shut down. But I've heard a lot more of them happening than anything going on with churches. I haven't seen one video of a Muslim mosque getting raided by the sheriff's department and them handing citations and fines to Muslims that are sitting in their car praying at a mosque. Haven't heard of that incident one time, nor have I seen videos of it. I've seen and heard and watched videos of it, of Christian churches. So why is this? Why is this going on right now? Now we have the basically commissioner for the Chicago Department of Public Health has now come out, and she said they're planning a full-blown city mass vaccination plan. Just put it together. And I quote, this is what she said. This is Allison Ardwary, the commissioner of the Chicago Department of Public Health. And I quote, "Finally, we've been moving forward towards the mass vaccination campaign, continuing to follow, and I want you to know the CDPH is already deep in the planning stages around vaccination. We've already bought the syringes. We already know where it's going to happen. We're thinking about what it's going to be. It's all part of this plan," end quote. They're already telling you what they're getting ready to do. Now, ironically enough, we already know, allegedly, these vaccines are being so fast-tracked, even beyond what the FDA mandates guidelines is for long-term research study for to get vaccines. So, again, it's not about your health. We already know the death rate from almost every other disease is much higher than we're actually getting these numbers on COVID-19. We know pretty much doctors have blatantly said now, if it's not a car accident or a gunshot wound death, it's a COVID-19 death now. Why? Because they've monetarily incentivized these guys to have COVID-19 patients. And we also know that whoever, whatever pharmaceutical company wins the race to create some weird DNA, RNA vaccine is going to be insanely rich, considering this is going to be a global scale plan they're trying to do with 7 billion people. So here's what you have to start asking yourself a question. Are they getting ready to do a mandatory vaccine like I've been talking about since February? Are they going to physically enforce it? Or are they going to say, your right to work, go to school, go to church, to shop, travel, dine, so forth, is now a state-granted privilege dependent on your certificate of vaccination? Is that about to happen, guys? People said it a couple months ago, it's never going to get that bad. They're never going to stop churches. Guys, they're stopping churches. They're arresting pastors. They're fining petitioners for being in their cars at drive-in worship services. I never thought in my entire life I would see that. Okay, churches gathering with max capacity, 500 people with 500 seats shoulder to shoulder. Okay, that may be lightly frowned upon when there's a virus going around. Okay, somebody still wants to do it. I'm libertarian. You can go do it. I don't care. But arresting and fining people for having drive-in services now, or giving them a list of edicts of all the things they can do and can't do if they're a drive-in service? What in the world just happened to our country in the last month, guys? This isn't the America that I saw in 2019. This isn't the America that I saw even back in January. This is a whole nother world that we've entered now, and we already know. They've already told us. This whole COVID-19 phase planning is going to continue to keep going. And as soon as cases pop up, you go back to go again. Or you don't even go back to go. You don't even collect $200. You go straight to jail. This is what they're telling us, guys. Wake up. Speak the truth. Get your information out there. Talk to people. A mass vaccination plan for a virus that has a very, 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 very minimal death rate on the real numbers that we've seen. When you take out people that are obese, that have COPD, that have heart conditions, that are over 60 years old, and the whole list goes down the line, the death rate of this is barely as bad as the flu. But they're not telling you those numbers. I've been trying to compile those numbers. I've been looking at these numbers for weeks now. They're so skewed, it's almost impossible to get real, true, accurate facts out of it. It's almost impossible. Why? Because they've done it intentionally. They've confused the narrative, and then they have Trump as their spokesperson right now. The reason why there's not a presidential seal on the podium, there's a reason why the presidential flag is no longer hanging. Nobody's answered that question for me yet. They go, well, it's because of the national emergency. What, so it's a national emergency? The president doesn't exist anymore? The presidential seal isn't there? What is that supposed to mean? Literally that. How's that supposed to work? And we got Trump literally every single day almost now, flip-flopping, makes a statement, then backtracks it the next day, makes a statement, says, oh, I agree with the Georgia governor. I'm glad he's doing this. The next day, I strongly disagree with what he's doing. He shouldn't be opening up the state. I mean, what? What are we doing? We're being lied to. That's what we're doing. We're like mushrooms, like Dad said. We're being kept in the dark, and they're feeding us a pile of poop every day. And they're telling us to eat it and be happy. This is what you believe. This is what you know. This is what you're told. Believe it and shut up. I don't believe it. I always ask questions. I've always asked questions. Why? Why do this? Why? Why? What is the reason for this? And if somebody has a legitimate rebuttal, and they say, well, A plus B equals X, and this is the problem we're having right now, and if we do this and this, it'll help fix this. Okay, that's logical. What we're seeing right now doesn't make sense. To arrest the paddleboarder in the water by himself, to cite and fine people sitting in their car, not leaving their vehicles, and forcing them to roll down their windows to interact with law enforcement while they're in a drive-in worship service, makes zero sense whatsoever. There is no safety, there is no security, there is no protection. The only thing we're witnessing right now is full-blown tyranny. Wake up, everybody. Get this information out there and understand what they're doing to us, Dad.
You know, Austin, I recommend that everybody listens to last Friday's show. I'm not going to repeat it all because it was a good show. You guys told me it was show of the week. In fact, Gene rates them for me. He told me it was show of the week. We played it on Sunday night. Everybody needs to listen to last Friday's show. I go into detail on Chuck Baldwin's latest column in which he says, without Q, without Trump, without all of this stuff, none of this would be possible. I don't think he mentions Q, but he mentions Trump. Without Donald Trump being the figurehead of all of this stuff, none of this would be possible. We have basically taken the evangelicals and we've emasculated them. How's that sound? I say, well, what does that mean? Castrated them? Just cut off the testosterone supply? Was what we've done. You know, I mean, Paul was talking in the New Testament and he was talking about these guys who were basically Jews and they were Christians and they wanted the New Testament converts to go as adults get circumcised. You think, well, this is an awful topic to talk about on a talk show. Well, we go where no man goes. So we're going to go here today on a talk show. And I figure if the Bible can talk about it, we can talk about it. And Paul got so mad. He says, hey, look, you know, here's the deal. You know, why are you trying to tie this yoke of burden on all these people, including the circumcision? He goes, I wish you guys would go the whole way, just emasculate yourselves. I mean, castrate yourselves. Paul said in the New Testament, he had enough of these guys because they were so legalistic. You know, he said there were only a few things we had to do. No, don't eat the meat sacrificed to idols. Don't eat the meat of strangled animals. Don't eat blood. And don't commit sexual immorality. Three of the things, by the way, that he recommended that we do in Acts chapter 15 were dietary related. Just thought I'd mention that in case you guys hadn't had enough of the diet stuff yet today. And guys, this is what we need to understand is that, you know, we've been emasculated as a Christian church and rendered useless because Donald Trump has issued an edict based upon what he was told to tell us. I mean, this is crazy what's happening. By the way, we need to also realize that, you know, a lot of things are happening around us. Like the Roger Stone, who now says he's a Christian, but now in this article says he's returned to his Catholic roots. So I don't know what the heck he is now at this point. You know, basically he's going to be going to jail, to prison on Friday over this Russian mess. Now, let me share something with you guys. This is really important. The reason Roger Stone is going to prison is because he basically incriminated himself in a court of law. And they said lied under oath. You know, Hillary Clinton, as much as I dislike her, I mean, dislike's a very mild term. It's much worse than that. You know, because of what she did in Benghazi, plus, at the Rose Law Firm, with Vince Foster. This list just goes on for 40 years. You know, I'll give her credit. I don't remember. I plead the fifth. I don't remember. Yeah. You know, be very, very careful if you're put under oath in front of a court. Just be very careful. Before you incriminate yourself and say something you shouldn't ought to say, like Roger Stone did, just, I don't remember. And, you know, memories lapses. You don't remember exactly. How fast were you going, oh, sir, when I pulled you? I don't remember. Do you have an idea? Well, yeah, I've got an idea, but I don't remember exactly. I mean, were you staring at the speedometer exactly when he clocked you with the radar? Were you staring at it? Were you actually staring at the speedometer? Or did you vary? Were you going up a hill, down a hill? What's the answer? I don't know. I don't remember. Be very careful when you give answers. The best thing to do if you're being questioned, get your attorney. You think, get your attorney? Yeah, just basically do one thing that you need to do a lot. Just be quiet. Don't say anything. Say, yeah, officer, I'd love to, you know, someday if you want to come by and if we ever have football again, you can watch a Florida State versus Miami game with me at the house if you'd like to come by. And, you know, I'll get you a organic, vegetarian, you know, pizza. Oh, we'll hang out and talk about life. But right now, I'm not saying anything until I get to my attorney, until my attorney's present. You think, well, why would you be, are you afraid of what you're going to say? I need to have my attorney present. You know, I've got a Miranda right. We used to. I think we may still have one. I don't even know anymore. You know, are they going to torture you? Are they going to waterboard you? Oh, yeah, that's right. We all said, we got to waterboard them. I got to waterboard them. It's okay. No, Geneva Convention says we don't torture people. I remember Mancow. He basically didn't think waterboarding was that bad. You know, he was kind of whatever. And so they brought a group of guys who knew how to waterboard. They put Mancow on that doggone table, put that rag over his face, started pouring water on his face. He collapsed in less than 30 seconds, said, I'm done. I'm not doing this. Waterboarding's not torture. Why do we get to torture people in the United States now? Why is our government sanctioning torture? Well, does that mean if you have a right to remain silent, if you're an American citizen, if they take you off and take you and put you through rendition or whatever, or they put you someplace else and they put you in another country, that your rights go away and now they can waterboard you? Kind of interesting, isn't it? Isn't it interesting how Barack Obama started having drone strikes on U.S. citizens without a court of law and without anybody doing due process? Let's just kill him. It's all right. It's easier to kill him. He's an American citizen. Just kill him. But I don't want him to kill him. He's an American citizen. He has rights. Just kill him, I said. Do you not understand, peasant? Kill them. Oh, God, where have we gone, people? My dear friends, I love you guys. I pray for you every day, but where have we gone as a country? What the heck? We had George Orwell on steroids. I mean, what the heck? So they've shut the churches down so easily. They shut it down so easily. And they told us to be quiet so easily. And they put masks on us so easily. By the way, physical gold has gone through the roof as far as its premiums. And I've never seen so much shorting before as ever. I mean, gold should be 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 10,000 an ounce now. And it's not. Because of the naked shorts. By the way, CNBC's Jim Cramer is basically echoing the Ted and Austin Brewer show now, especially Austin Brewer. And he basically is shredding the preferential bailout for the cruise company run by Trump's pal, Carnival. I mean, this is really, this is it. I mean, finally somebody else has the, finally somebody else hasn't been emasculated. There you go. See, I fill in the blanks on that one. CNBC's Jim Cramer is irate over the bailout for Carnival Cruise Lines and questioning whether it is a case of crony capitalism. Appearing on CNBC Monday morning, Cramer reacted to a Wall Street Journal piece detailing how Carnival, basically is owned by a dual Israeli citizen, thanks to the Fed launching a massive lending program, was able to raise $6 billion in the bond markets at a drastically reduced rate. I thought the information, this piece was a disgrace, Cramer said. But you know, we're in an era today where there's nothing's disgraceful. Everyone knows, but no one likes to say it because then suddenly you're in your lamestream. Cramer went on to reference that Carnival was run by Mickey Arison. We talked about this guy already, did a whole show on him a couple weeks ago. Dual Israeli citizen, longtime pal of President Donald Trump. Carnival was a sponsor of The Apprentice for years. I didn't even know that one. Carnival was a sponsor of The Apprentice for years, according to the Washington Post, and Trump and Arison have spoken recently, and the president has mentioned this dual Israeli citizen by name during several briefings over the past 6 weeks. The CNBC commentator suggested this dual Israeli citizen's personal ties helped his company to get bailed out. Let's say you're on the Federal Reserve, Cramer said, and do you want Macy's to go under? Is that more important or less important than Carnival? Carnival was a principal, let's say, purveyor of COVID-19 that's killed a lot of people. Macy's hasn't killed anybody. Should we give Macy's a loan? Should we help them out? Now we're talking about that ship off the coast of Japan that basically got everybody infected. Or are we limited to companies that are run by Mickey Arison? I got to give Cramer credit on this one. Cramer says, quote, "I've gotten quite cynical. When I read that Carnival piece, your eyes glaze over now because everything's so cynical. But I wonder why Carnival gets the backing of the Federal Reserve after being an actor that I think we could all question. And Macy's, which does fireworks, which is more dangerous?" I mean, think about this for a second. I mean, guys, Cramer's right. And we were right. We talked about this weeks before anybody else wanted to touch it. And see, guys, here's the thing. If we don't bring this stuff up, who's going to bring it up? But maybe it's tied back. This is speculation. This is an opinion piece. Maybe it's tied back to Shabab Lubavitch. Maybe it's tied back to the Kabbalah. Maybe these guys are all basically going to Shabbat with Jared and Ivanka and learning about Kabbalah and the Zohar. Maybe these guys are part of a doomsday death cult that want to start World War III and bring in the reign of the Antichrist. Oh, but that would just be speculation on my part. Austin, what do you think?
I mean, you know, a lot of times people, when I say, and that's why I tell everybody all the time, you don't have to don't just believe what I say. Do your own research on it. Look at all this stuff that's going on. That's what's so idiotic about the whole Q thing that's gotten so irritating, is that everybody's all wrapped up, and you called it so good earlier today, and I saw it earlier, the same thing you sent me in text, is that the only way this would have worked was to have a super, let's say, pro-patriot president, allegedly, I should put that in there, allegedly pro-patriot president with an underlining agenda of cleaning out the deep state and making America great again. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and a lot of people are going to email me about this, but I'm starting to think that everything from the very beginning with Donald Trump was already pre-planned. They already had this set in place, and I think Hillary would have been a perfect candidate, and she probably would have gotten a lot of stuff done, but Donald Trump was either option A or option B. It didn't matter. It was either or. They were going to make it work, but option B with Trump, they actually were able to make it even more effective because the patriot community has been so pacified. Now, don't send me a bunch of hate mail on it, because we got all our own opinion, and that's just my opinion on it. But the more we're starting to see this, and the Goldman Sachs boys that he has in his cabinet, and this whole thing with Carnival now, and his whole flip-flopping when he talks and he acts like he doesn't even read what's going on, and he just makes comments up, and then he retracts them the next day, and then he gets on national television and goes, listen, we're going to have everything together by Easter. We're going to have it back together by Easter. We're going to open up America on Easter. That's the goal. And everybody goes, yes, Donald Trump's on it. We're on it. We're going to do it. And all of a sudden it doesn't happen. Why didn't it happen? And then he could go, oh, it's, you know, we tried. I tried, guys. I tried to do it. I really tried. It didn't happen, though, because, you know, the virus is too bad. And so you got to either be with me or you got to be with the virus. And you know I'm already trying to open up everything for Easter Sunday, but it just I tried, it didn't work. What a perfect psycho play. He knew he wasn't going to open up the country in 2 weeks. I even said that after he did that interview. I said, how in the world is he planning to reopen everything in 2 weeks? They just shut everything down. What? Are you really think they're just going to reopen in 2 weeks? They're never going to reopen in 2 weeks. Of course, well, Easter came and passed. We had our own Easter services at our house. Many, many, many other Christians did all around the country. Didn't stop us from having private Easter services. But again, he got the patriots' attention. They said, oh, he's trying to open by Easter, guys. He's trying. He's really trying to do it. Oh, man, I couldn't do it. I tried, but I couldn't. Oh, man, guys, psychological warfare at its best. My dad's a psych major. I'm a psych major. That's why both of us call out so much BS all the time. Because if you know what they're doing and you see how they do it, you can read right through it. Remember what said in that movie? Kevin Costner says that movie. I love that quote, Open Range. He goes, son, if you listen to what somebody tells you, they'll tell you their intentions. And what he means by that is people can say anything. People can say whatever they want, but if you listen to what they say, and you watch how they say it, and you read their body language, you can figure out exactly what their plan is, and whether they're lying to you, or whether they're telling you the truth. And we're being lied to every single day. I mean, now we have Chile. Chile has now set up a full-blown protocol. Remember, we already talked about that they were probably going to try to do this. They've set a full-blown protocol. Now, Chile's government has said they're going on with a controversial plan to issue certificates to people who have recovered from COVID-19. This isn't a joke, guys. This is exactly what Bill Gates talked about. They've now released it in Chile. The documents, they say, will be given to people to allow them to return to work. This is from the Deputy Health Minister, Paula Deza. She goes on to say, the World Health Organization, oh, here we go. We got the WHO back involved again. We got the WHO. Aren't you guys relieved? The World Health Organization is involved now. I mean, everybody's saved, right? The WHO's back in it. She goes, the World Health Organization said that no evidence that people who contract the virus are immune from being infected again, so the certificates could give some type of confidence to understand who may spread it and who may not, which contradicts exactly what she's talking about here. Chile reported 189 virus-related deaths and 13,000 cases allegedly. And she's saying there that their body argued that the so-called immunity certificates, however, could be harmful because people could lead people to ignore public health and therefore increase the risk of transmitting diseases. And the only way to be sure is to do a vaccination campaign. Ah, here we go now. So we're introducing the certificates, but wait, the certificates may not be good enough. because, you know, they give people a false sense of security. So, well, you know what? We need to have a vaccine campaign, and we'll roll those certificates into a vaccine certificate, and now we have the perfect plan. Now you get your shot, you get your papers, please. You have your little card you have to keep with you. I'm COVID-19 vaccine certified. Now you can ride on a bus, a train, a plane. You can go here, you can go there, you can have green eggs and ham. You can do anything you want. Why? Because you took the good little vaccine they told you to, like a good little peasant slave. They're gearing up, everybody. They're gearing up. Get ready for it and wake up to what's going on. There's a high probability, and this is a probability that numerous people have told me now, and I've talked to a couple people about it that I know as far as that are in different positions. They're going to start using this once it goes into place. It won't be right now. They're not going to have this vaccine ready yet. It's going to be months and months and months down the road. They're going to make you have to show your card to go to the grocery store, to go to Walmart, to go to Costco, to go to Sam's. In order to get in or in order to finish your purchase, you're going to have a card or your certificate showing that you basically have your vaccine. Remember, they already have this in China right now. You have a little green bar on your phone if you're basically your cleared COVID-19, whether they got a vaccine, whether or not you've already got it, you've tested negative, they've already got this system in place. If the bar shows up yellow or red, you're denied access to the facility. You're told to go home and quarantine for 14 more days. They already have it beta tested in China. We already know the Chinese model is something that the globalists just drool over here in the United States. And we already know that China would do nothing more than love to have a full-blown communist dictatorship in the United States that they were a part of. Now, I'm not going along the whole narrative, this is all China. United States has nothing to do with this. All we're trying to do is prevent China from releasing another bioweapon. I'm not buying that. Now, do I think China's directly involved with this? Do I think they're basically a hardcore communist satanic entity over there as far as the government? Not the people, but the government? Absolutely. We know they're a communist dictatorship. We know they hate Christianity. So, of course, the globalists are going to be neck and neck with these guys knowing what they want. So that's why when you hear this nonsense, the reason why the government shut down, the reason why the country shut down, the reason why I can't go to work is China's, they're threatening to release a bioweapon, and Trump knows this, so he's not going to let people go back to work until we can control this with China. Guys, come on. Don't bury that in a hole and cover it with dirt. Nonsense. You know what's going on. You see what they're doing. Wake up. Get prepared. Have some food. Have your weapons. Have your training. Have your preparedness mindset and get ready, because I promise you, this is not going to stop. This vaccine certificate, immunity certificate, is just going out there. Man, they tell you what they're going to do before they do it. Bill Gates already talked about this a month and a half ago and started throwing little hints out there, little snippets, little seeds to plant to get people used to it. And now we have multiple countries talking about it. We have multiple entities and figureheads talking about it, and they're getting ready to beta test it to see how much the population is going to accept it. Be vocal. Talk about it. Get it online. Get it on social media. The more we talk about it, the more their algorithms see this, the more they're going to realize this is not going to be a walk in the park. Mass vaccinating a populace of 330 million people with hundreds of millions of very capable firearms, magazines, and ammunition to go along with them. Understand that. We still have this country if we choose to accept it. Remember what Ben Franklin said? You now have a constitutional republic. See if you can keep it. See if you can keep it, Dad.
You know, Austin, that was very well said. And the sad part about it is that, you know, they started it with the Frankfurt School with the communist indoctrination almost 100 years ago now. And then they followed that up by getting into the doggone university systems and pushing this whole mess into the kids. Then they followed it up with Gloria Steinem and, you know, Playboy magazine and the degradation of society and LSD, all of this. It's all done by the same people. And now they have us here. And they also remember in 1946 put us on fluoride. And the fluoride basically makes you servile and infertile. That's what it does, servile and infertile. And so now we have a group of people here in the United States that can't think any longer. In fact, Pope now is calling for obedience on mass restrictions, both pastoral and political. This guy nauseates me. Pope Francis delivers his blessing from the window of his studio overlooking an empty St. Peter's Square. I mean, St. Paul began, he began live streaming his daily mass from the Vatican St. Mark's residence. Now he's basically saying, you know, this is ridiculous. Now he wants us to listen, you know, and basically quarantine and follow the rules of the government. This guy's not even saved as far as I'm concerned. And I know, oh my God, he said the Pope's not saved. The stuff that he has said is unbelievable. I've talked about it repeatedly with you guys. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. You guys are absolutely awesome. I had the privilege to pray for you again today. A little bit kind of a different show today, a little bit. Some of the stuff was, I guess, we're trying to make a little bit of humor out of some of it because some of it's so yuck. We don't want to like to talk about it, not make a little bit of humor with it. But guys, I love you. I appreciate you. Remember, pray every single day. Eat clean, take your supplements, and love one another. Also, go ahead and finish it up.
Absolutely, bud. I thank you continually for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for choosing Health Masters for all your supplement needs. We do the absolute best we can down here in Central Florida to produce the highest quality supplements that we can possibly make. And if people have taken them, you know you can vouch for that. These aren't your Walmart Bobo all-in-one shellac-coated Chinese garbage. These are high-quality nutraceutical supplements with the highest quality ingredients I can physically get a hold of. And so, I mean, again, keeping your immune system strong, staying prepared, having backup water and food, these are all crucial. They all go hand in hand. Because I've told everybody this before. This is why they're trying to use a virus to do this. They know a populace that's sick and in bed with 104 temperature is pretty much impossible to resist. As far as you're not going to do much. Everybody's been that sick before. You know how it feels. You don't want to do anything. They know that. They want people to get sick. That's why they refuse to talk about eating clean, not getting constipated right now, which I had a buddy send me an article on that. I even brought that up. That's a huge thing. I know it's a weird topic, but it doesn't matter. It's a very important topic. Keeping your bowels clean. The more you get stopped up, the lower your immune system gets. Keeping the immune system supplements in your system, keeping high concentrations of vitamin C and D3 in your body. Crucial elements. Call for this right now, guys. Thank you for the support of Health Masters. If you need anything, email us or call us, healthmasters.com. Different specials and stuff going on right now, as always. Magnesium Brain Food on sale as product of the week. 10% off, very popular product. Be sure to check it out. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.